Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Bruston-Nortman, KBN on 94.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and streaming live at ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. The 414 Hour on KBN is brought to you by Siding Unlimited. Siding Unlimited is Wisconsin's leader in Pella window installation. Looking for new windows, siding, roof, and doors? Visit them at SidingUnlimited.com.
It's the 414 Hour at 4 on KBN.
That sounds like a guy who went to Concordia, am I right?
Yeah. You dissed me. That actually might have been better than me.
Yeah, it had a little more flavor. That's just full-time
trying,
Will.
Just trying to cheer you guys up. A
little
humor.
Making his 414 Hour Kyle Wallace appearance.
So here's the thing.
I'm Ben Brust. That's Alex Stroph. No Kyle Wallace. No Brad Nortman. UKBN Nation. 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text Line. We're on YouTube at ESP Milwaukee. Go ahead, Mr. Stroph.
I love Will. All right. He's a bundle of joy. He's a happy dude. He's a funny dude. He's a Bears fan.
Yeah.
And Bears obviously got a big win over the Cowboys yesterday.
But here's what you're doing. You're giving them the opportunity to speak, and I don't want to
hear
him speak.
I'm not going to let him speak. What I'm saying is I work with him a lot in my job. He's our production director. He is a member of our Mr. Relevant crew. For whatever reason, I decided to hang out with him outside of work this weekend. I can't stand looking at him today.
He's avoided eye contact with me from the second he walked in the building.
Stroph, you're so damn soft.
Dude, he's been smiling ear to ear all day. And like pretending he's a nice guy and he's above me.
So if you're on YouTube at ESP Milwaukee, if you see the name Austin Della in there.
Yeah, he's been trolling in every YouTube chat every day.
He is a Bears fan.
Yeah.
He is similar to Will. He has come into the office and the way that their chest is out and the way that they are smiling is, I just want to tell you, Stroph, just take it in.
Yeah.
Remember it.
But here's the thing.
Because.
But I'm better than that. That's the thing. I'm better than that.
Wait.
When the Bears inevitably lose 10 more times this season
that's
and the Packers win.
I'm literally telling you, take it in.
And the
embrace it.
And the Packers win 12
look
more
at them
times
back,
this season.
Look at them back and smile.
Stroph is
knowing you have the upper hand.
You're a bad loser. You went radio silent last night after the Packers
lost. I took a nap right after the Packers game.
That's fair. But what I'm telling you is look them back in the eyes. Because you know what's in the future.
Oh, God. Look who just entered the YouTube chat.
Yeah. Well, lucky for him, I don't have to go to him. See, isn't this great?
Yeah, but, we should tell everybody what just happened.
My brother Jonathan came into the chat.
I'm not going to read what he said, but he just said something.
Yeah. Okay, well, we will go to Jonathan Brust.
He's on the phone now?
Yeah.
How long has he been on the phone?
How's work going, Jonathan?
Hey, bear down, baby.
Okay, is that it? You got anything else?
He hung up.
See, that's the thing. That's all they got. They have 1 week against the Cowboys, who gave up 500 yards to Russell Wilson, and then
so irritated
beat the Cowboys. Like, it's fine, Stroph. Like, just you need to embrace it. Take this as an opportunity when you're feeling low. To know that
but
they're
going
to be feeling low 10 more times than you.
Here's the thing. I'm going to say it. Okay? Here's what I fear.
You're scared of the Bears?
No.
Oh, no. You've stooped.
Do not get
unimaginably low level.
That's not what I'm saying. But the Bears also have the Browns on their schedule. The Bears are going to beat the Browns. And that's when it's going to be ultimately worse.
Who cares, man?
Bears fans. And they're surrounding me. And
We're rent-free.
You are.
This is bad.
You should shut up.
Stroph.
Yeah, this is bad. This is a bad look for you, man.
As your friend, I hate to see you like this, man.
And
thanks, Will.
I hate to see him like this, too. This is soft. You're
a Packers
fan.
Whoa.
This is soft. You said you can't look at him in the eye.
No, he said that.
You're a bad loser.
I didn't
loser.
Say that. He said that.
You're a bad loser.
He said I can't look at him in the eyes. Did he not?
He did not look me in the eye. He refused to look me in the eye this morning. I walked past his desk. Granted, I was smiling ear to ear. I was just going to say, hello, Stroph. Hope you're having a great morning.
Yeah.
And he refused to make eye contact.
And you should have said, I hope you're enjoying the one time you get to be happy in your life. Like, you have the upper hand.
I know.
Use it.
But I'm not going to stoop to their level, Ben. I'm just not even going to entertain it.
All right. You do you. Let's hear from Matt LaFleur, because Jason Wilde referenced this with us, that they brought up Rashid Walker's comments about, you know, wanting to go undefeated, and they have the ability to. Thought they could have went undefeated last year. A couple plays go their way. Rashid didn't have a great day on the offensive line. I don't know who would against Myles Garrett, but here's what Jason Wilde asked Matt LaFleur, and here's the response about Rashid Walker.
Well, I just think this league is such a week-to-week league, and you can never lose sight of that, and you can't take any moment, any game for granted. And the goal, and I've said it a million times to you guys, I don't think I've obviously said it enough to our team, the goal is to go 1-0 every week. And it pisses me off when we start talking about things outside of the next game, things that are way down the road. Like, focus on – keep – the focus on the present, on the now, and worry about getting better each and every day.
Hmm. Well, Rashid Walker, what are you doing, buddy?
Again.
Hope you were watching your coach talk today.
He might be doing some extra laps maybe after practice. Who knows? Mo from Illinois, I did hear you on Green Bay game night. I thought your perspective was pretty good. Look forward to hearing you right now on Kyle Brusson-Nortman on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776.
Yeah, hey, guys. I'm not going to lie. I woke up feeling even more pissed off and kind of in shock that we really lost to the stinking Browns. But to address the Rashid Walker incident real quick, I'm kind of happy that LaFleur just called him out, because I don't know if any of you guys listened to Michael Parsons' locker room press conference this past week. But I think somebody asked him how he felt about Walker's comments, and he said he's okay with it so long as he goes up and backs up his
walk. Walk that walk.
And correct. And I guess my biggest frustration with Rashid Walker was I saw the dude on his butt so many times, and he stunk it up, just like the entire O-line. So it's like, if you're going to talk, at least back it up. But, man, this team, I don't know who they think they are. They won two great games against two tough opponents. Great. But if you could lose to the Browns, you sure as hell could lose to anybody else in the NFL. So I'd like to see this team be a little bit more humble. They know they're a good team, but it's a week-by-week league. I'm seeing too many damn penalties on every side of the ball. Defense, special teams, there's nothing special about this damn unit. Every single time there's a kickoff or we're in special teams, there's going to be a penalty. Book it. Get ready to see that yellow flag on the bottom of the screen. There's going to be a flag, which is so infuriating to Mr. Highest Paid Assistant in the League, Assistant Head Coach Rich Pisaccia. So I'm just ticked off. This team better get their piss hot for Dallas, because I'll tell you what.
We appreciate
the
call,
energy.
Mo.
I like the energy.
I like the energy. Ben Brust, Alex Stroff. And look.
Here's the thing. All right. I'm calling myself out. Well, I'm all in on the wake-up call. I'm all in on it. This is a wake-up call. Yeah, Mo sold me. It's the wake-up call, 4.08 p.m. Monday. It happened. Here we are. We've gotten there.
Nothing.
It took nothing. Josh DiMaggio called it. He said it would be today. I thought it would take until tomorrow. Yesterday was a wake-up call. Listen, Mo's got me there. The Packers need to remember who the hell they are. All right, this is a team that came out the first 2 weeks of the season and lit up two of the contenders in the NFC. This is a team who looks like, and I will still say this after yesterday, they have the best defense in the NFL. Best defense, period. End of sentence. They have the best defense in the NFL. The quarterback, the offensive play caller, all need some improvement. Matt LaFleur can call out everybody else if he wants to, but he better look in that damn mirror and look at those handsome eyebrows and that handsome face tonight when he gets home, because this loss is also on him. But Jordan Love is a good quarterback. You paid him $55 million for a reason. Coach LaFleur, good coach. Very good coach, I would argue. Good play caller. He could turn this puppy around. Yesterday is as bad as a loss as I better see in 2025. It's as bad as a loss. Because when you look at this schedule, there are some other games where you are playing teams significantly worse than the Browns. Think Arizona. Think Carolina. Think at the New York Giants. All right, you've got some games on the schedule where you could walk in and Rashid Walker could talk to the media and say, well, we're going to win our next six games again, or whatever he did last week, right? I don't want that anymore. This is the wake-up call you needed to really know, and listening to LaFleur, it's 1 week at a time. Maybe they overlooked the Browns. Maybe they overlooked the fact that they were on the road for the first time and they had to travel. Maybe they overlooked that. I don't care. No more overlooking. One game at a time. This is a really good football team that should be competing for a Super Bowl. That doesn't change despite a loss to the Browns. Excuse me. Sorry, I'm choking like the Packers did yesterday. They choked
Nailed
to the Browns.
It.
They choked to the Browns.
That was good.
Thank you, guys. Wake up call time. That was a wake up call. I'm sold.
So good until that.
It was so good.
You were inspired.
I was buying what you were selling until you made the old joke.
I'm doing performance here, man. It's a performance.
No, don't double down. It was all good until Will and I looked at each other. He's like, he was doing good. Why did you do the choke thing? Did we not make that eye contact?
And the sound kind of made like, I got chills. It was kind of like gross.
It wasn't great.
Go, Pat, go.
Look, I started the show that way. I tried to get you there. I said, everyone take
I wasn't ready yet.
Yeah, okay. No, it's fine.
It's kind of like therapy, right?
Yeah,
like, this is my therapy for sports fans.
You got to get there on your own terms. And like I had said, there's a lot of things that you can look at from this game. You have to be reminded that despite all of the horrible things that happened at the end, they were still up 10-0. And it took so many horrible things to happen for the Browns to win that game.
Bad things by us, our fault. Packers' fault.
Correct.
Not me and you. Packers' fault.
Correct. And like, actually, when Jason comes on, Jason Woodley will come on and say, like, you know, I think sometimes, you know, you want to win and you want to learn from the wins. I don't buy that crap.
Look, you played at a really high level, man.
I don't buy that crap. You can learn.
Yeah. Especially when you're really good.
Human nature will tell you that if you win, even if you skate by, it's really easy to fall into the, well, we won, so why do I need to change?
So I'll be honest with you. I've said this for a few weeks now. I was really nervous next week was going to be the first loss. I now think they're going to go in. They're so fired up. Micah Parsons is obviously going to be fired up for obvious reasons. They're without C.D. Lamb now. I don't know if we've said that yet.
And their defense is atrocious.
Yeah. So this is a get-right game opportunity big time for this Packers offense. The offensive line, Jordan Love, the receivers, et cetera. It's a get-right game for that offense. And frankly, it's a bigger challenge for the defense, even without C.D. Lamb. Dak Prescott's a good quarterback. He's had a really nice season outside of yesterday against the Bears. So it's a get-right game across the board. And then you get to get in your bye week. You get healthy. Hopefully that offensive line can get healthy. Hopefully you get Christian Watson back shortly after the bye. Let's get right game. Let's get right this week, Benny. Oh, I'm so back, dude. I'm so back.
You're definitely back. From cranky to acceptance, probably. Is that where he is? Cranky anger to acceptance.
Hey, Will, how many games have the Bears won this year?
One less than the Packers.
Losers.
See how I just try to bring him up and he lashes out?
Well, I didn't catch who the dog of the game was. It had to have been somebody on defense, right? Will, do you remember?
I think it was Rashawn Gary was one of them.
Oh, yeah.
It had
to have been.
You know who leads the league in sacks through 3 weeks?
Is he tied with Myles Garrett?
All by himself.
Did he get a sack and a half?
4.5 on the year. Rashawn Gary leads the league in sacks.
Oh, my Lord.
He is halfway to 10. Just under halfway to 10 through 3 weeks.
Xavier McKinney was the other one.
Who did have a pick.
Yeah. McKinney had a good first half.
Again, he probably didn't need to pick off. I don't think it mattered. There wouldn't have been enough time for them to score anyway.
He needs the stat.
I get it. But the dog of the game is always on the Green Bay Game Night postgame show with Homer and Tausch. We do Green Bay props and preview presented to you by Dog of the Game and Sit Means Sit. And if your dogs don't listen to you, you're like, what's going on? Why are they barking? Why are they jumping all over the person who walks in the home? Why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? Well, you have help. Use your help. Sit Means Sit is there for you. Matt and their team helps you have a happy, confident, and obedient dog. So contact Sit Means Sit Dog Training in Milwaukee or Waukesha to schedule a free consultation. SitMeansSit.com. Check out the Milwaukee and Waukesha pages. All right. So with Ben Brust and Alex Stroff and full-time Will running the show, since you've decided that you're ready to move on, what do you want to move on to? Because
hold on a minute. I never said that.
Okay,
so I'm still upset about some things.
Okay, is there anything that we haven't gotten off your chest to fully help you heal?
I don't think we've fully gotten into Rich Bisaccia yet.
Rich Bisaccia, you don't want what's coming next.
You're listening to Kyle Bruston Nortman.
That is completely unacceptable. It is unacceptable for a team to
unacceptable.
Unacceptable. Is acceptable? Unacceptable?
Unacceptable.
Unaccessible.
Wait, what?
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Milwaukee Brewers fans, you should hit a Pottawatomie Sportsbook before a home game. And if you need a ride to the game, you can hit two balls with one bat by hitching a ride with the Game Day Shuttle. Make any purchase in the sportsbook or a same-day sports bet, get a wristband and a seat on the shuttle. They begin approximately 1 hour before first pitch. Return shuttles are nonstop for 1 hour after the game. Visit Pottawatomie.com for more information. And I know that Kyle Wallace will be cashing his Brewers NL Central ticket when he is back. Ben Brust, Alex Stroh, full-time Wills running the show. UKBN Nation at 800-990-3776. The Carbless Talk and Text Line. We're on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. Stroh, I've had you make a list of bad decisions. I was thinking it was going to be just about Matt LaFleur, but we can expand this list. So, Stroh, take it away.
All right, this is my list of the five worst decisions that led the Packers to losing to the Cleveland Browns 13-10 on Sunday. I believe in self-accountability. That's what we're going to lead with number five. Number five was me calling it a likely cakewalk on Green Bay game day. Bad by me. I overlooked the Browns' defense. Wasn't
proceeded to get reamed out by Brian Bulaga, who will be joining us at 4:45.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to him today.
Are you?
Calling it a likely cakewalk, mistake by me, I should have known better. Any given Sunday is a phrase for a reason. That's bad on me. That's number five. Number four bad decision, letting right tackle Zach Tom play in that game. Was on the injury report all week. Missed week two's game against the Commanders with a torn oblique. Never had a torn oblique. Imagine that's quite painful and hard to block 300-pound men with. Leaves after the first play. Letting Zach Tom play is bad decision number four.
Can I jump in on that one?
Yeah, go ahead.
That is inexcusable.
Yeah, it's really bad.
It's really, 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 really bad. You just paid the man so much damn money. You got a bye week five, and you risk the health of one of your most important offensive linemen, and then you got to stick Jordan Morgan in a position he's never played before? What the hell was that?
I'm no doctor, but here's what an oblique tear does. It's obviously an injury to the oblique muscles, which are located on the sides of the abdomen. These muscles play a role in twisting, bending, and stabilizing the torso. Seems relatively important for a right tackle.
Yeah, your core is it. There's people. What?
Yeah, not a great.
He said he couldn't run.
3 days prior. Yeah.
3 days prior.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, yeah. So.
And the Packers are usually the conservative type with injuries, and especially when it becomes to the guy that you just paid to be your franchise right tackle.
Correct. So fingers crossed he can heal up after, I would assume, missing Dallas and then the bye week, but we will see with that. Let's move on to bad decision number three. It's just, in general, Matt LaFleur's play calling. I wasn't impressed by a guy I have touted as a top five play caller in the National Football League. You knew you were playing a good defense. Didn't seem like pretty much anything you drew up worked. Matt LaFleur gets bad decision number three.
What do you say to the people that say without a good offensive line, not even a good scheme can overcome that?
I would say coaching matters. I would say a $55 million quarterback matters. I would say you draft offensive linemen and sign offensive linemen in free agency and trade for offensive linemen, which the Packers did for all three of this offseason. For a reason, it just didn't seem to work. You mentioned Jordan Morgan before. He was a first-round pick. Just looked out of place all game, no matter where he played.
Oh, shoot.
Yep. I guess I'm early again. Oh, you're early again.
Wait, you're early.
Again. Then you let your assignment go by to block the field goal. So LaFleur play calling is my bad decision number three. Number two, speaking of the $55 million quarterback, it's that interception in the fourth quarter. You got to see that defender. I know Love said that after the game, but he's made bad decisions like this in terms of an interception before. It's one bad play. It's one bad throw. Wasn't his greatest day by any means, but that interception allowed the Browns to get right back in it and tie the game late in the fourth quarter. So Love's interception is bad decision number two. So you're probably wondering now, Stroh, what could possibly be bad decision number one? What else was the big reason the Packers lost to the Browns on Sunday? Let me tell you. The bad decision actually came after the game.
The Packers let Rich Bisaccia back on the team plane and let him fly back to Green Bay.
Are you going to make him hitchhike?
I've been banging this drum. Maybe the Cleveland would hire him. I've been banging this drum for years now. I don't get what Rich Bisaccia does for the Packers. Special teams hasn't gotten better. He's the assistant head coach. I don't know what that means. Maybe he's super helpful. I don't know. But I have no clarity on what Rich Bisaccia does to make the Green Bay Packers a better football team now in his third season. I don't have any clarity on it. He was a good interim head coach in Las Vegas or Oakland, wherever the Raiders were at that point. He has always been a very, very highly touted special teams developer and recruiter. He's the reason they went through the Anders Carlson
debacle.
Yeah, debacle is probably a better word than experiment. Rich Bisaccia, I'm sure, is a good football coach in some capacity. I just don't know what capacity that is. So that would be number one, letting Rich Bisaccia back on the plane.
If you missed it, before Rich Bisaccia, in 2021, the Green Bay Packers were 32nd last in the league in special teams. So you bring Rich on, 2022, 22nd in special teams. Keyshawn Nixon, big part of that with those kick returns. 2023, with Rich Bisaccia making $2.2 million, 29th in special teams. And in 2024, 22nd in special teams. Do the Packers need to hold tryouts? Do we need Vince Papale? Can we get a Vince Papale? So somewhere out there, someone listening needs a shot to help this team.
Do you know who Vince Papale is?
Nope.
He's not a movie guy.
I was talking about
What's happening?
I was talking about this with my wife, actually.
About what?
Maybe it was my wife. It was someone else. How you're not a movie guy, and it drives me nuts.
He didn't know who the rookie of the year was. Henry Rowan Gardner.
Henry Rowan.
Gardner.
Oh, well, thanks for the context clues there. Good job.
Land of the play. Who is Vince Papale? Let me guess. Any Given Sunday? Longest Yard. No, not Longest Yard.
I think I said the name.
What's the one with...
I said the name of the movie.
I wasn't listening. Wait, is this also Rookie of the Year?
No.
Okay.
It's football.
Okay, it's the one
this
with...
This is embarrassing.
Is it the one with Al Pacino?
No. Mark Wahlberg.
He's
Mark
on
Wahlberg's
the Eagles.
In a football movie?
It's a Disney movie.
And it's based off a true story. Will, do you want to enlighten him as a fellow Gen Z?
Yeah. Invincible is about a guy who tries out for the Eagles, and in the closing scene, spoiler alert, he makes the Eagles and is on special teams. And he's a hard worker, and he gets downfield. He wears like the quarterback pads instead of the big pads so he can be faster and make the team. It's an inspiring story. I would recommend checking it out, Strofe.
Do the Packers need a Vince Papale? He laughed, so I was hoping he knew what I meant.
I knew you were making a movie reference. I wasn't going to rain on your parade and derail the segment.
Yeah. The last time the Packers finished in the top half of special teams was 2012.
That shocks me. You said that earlier today. I'm trying to figure it out. So Mason Crosby was obviously the kicker. I imagine Tim Mastey was still the punter, and Randall Cobb was probably on punt return duties. That would be his second year in the league.
That'd be pretty early on where he would be.
Because he was drafted in 11 right after they won the Super Bowl.
I'm not going to do it. I was just going to open up my browser and do 2012 Packers special teams unit. But it's irrelevant to the fact that Rich Bisaccia is stealing money.
Yeah, well, he has been since the day he got at 1265. I will say he's done like a couple good things for the Packers, all right? He recruited Keyshawn Nixon. He is now their top corner. So that is one good thing Rich Bisaccia can get credit for. I'm trying to think of anything else. Because at cutdowns this year, they kept no special teams guys.
You're asking a hard question because nobody on the Carbos Talk and Text Line, YouTube, Will, myself, can give you anything.
His best contribution to the Packers has been bringing Keyshawn Nixon to Green Bay. But other than that, I don't know if that's worth $2.5 million a year. I don't know if it is. I'm grateful that Keyshawn Nixon is here, though. I will say that. Grateful for him, especially as a corner now, as he's evolved into the top corner. And he was fine on kick returns. I mean, I shouldn't say fine. He was all pro on kick returns 2 years. But it was when the kick return rule changed. He's never scored a kickoff touchdown, as far as I'm aware. So, I don't know, man. I give up.
Ben Brust, Alex Strofe with full-time Will running the show. Assistance from Madison Hayes 24 on Instagram, helping get Alex Strofe's camera right on ESPN Milwaukee. She's still getting it right. And there's a good wave from Alex Strofe. 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text line. What I want to do is get a pulse check on Kyle Wallace.
Uh-oh.
He's entered the chat. On YouTube, he's been on the chat, but we also received some text messages and a picture of him. He looked miserable. I'll share some Kyle Wallace nuggets, the emotional wreck that he is next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman.
I was like, it's the 4-1-4 hour at 4.
I'm not going to lie. I feel like the kid who like got picked on the sports team. I was like, oh, you want me? No way.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Seeing is your fault. Although you could have done more. Oh, you're so nice.
Hey, it's Kyle Wallace here, and September is here. The kids are back in school. Vacations are winding down, and for a lot of us, that means one big thing. It's time to refocus on the house. Fall's the perfect season to tackle those home improvement projects before the weather turns cold. And listen, if your windows are old, drafty, or just plain inefficient, now's the time. Right now, you can finally do something about it with Universal Windows Direct, and they have an incredible September offer. Peep this. Buy two windows, get two free. There is absolutely no limit on how many windows you buy. Just know you only pay for half, and they make life so easy at UWD because you will get 0% financing for 3 whole years. So that means no interest and no pressure, and here's a bonus you'll love. $500 off your entire home improvement project when you schedule today. Call 414-410-2000 or visit UniversalWindowsDirect.com to book your free estimate today. And like me, you'll be saying, I love my windows.
Thanks, Kyle. Ben Bruss alongside Alex Strofe with full-time Will running the show. Speaking of Kyle, I received a picture of him similar to Strofe earlier on the show today, in which it was clipped into his palm into his face when he wasn't ready to say that, you know, this was a wake-up call.
Mm-hmm.
It is a wake-up call now to Alex Strofe. Kyle says, me already mad, I am watching the game via Gamecast, then seeing the interception. Did we just lose to the bleeping Browns?
Yeah.
After being up 10-0 in the fourth quarter? Could you imagine... Like, think about not being able to watch or listen to that. And, like, it almost seems impossible. If you were to tell me that I was unable to watch, listen, but I could track the game on my phone via Gamecast, that the Packers were going to lose to the Browns up 10-0 with 3:30 left.
I wouldn't have believed you.
I would have thought it was a mistake on the app.
Right?
Like they missed
something went haywire.
There was a mistake at the start of week two where the game flow and the play-by-play wasn't working. Like, they'll fix it. It will revert back. Like it was a misfire. Something when the algorithm went wrong. He follows it up with 4 million questions because he's panicking of like, how did this happen? This team is 0-2 when I go to Europe. I am done with this continent. And of course, it always comes back to where with Kyle Strofe?
Well, there's one of two answers. Cash or just pure panic.
Frugalness.
Okay, sure.
Or like just money in general.
Okay.
On the bright side, Brewers winning the NL Central just won Brad and I $60+.
Happy for you, Kyle.
How he's not a true fan. At a time of disaster, he's thinking about his money, not about.
Well, I mean, he's thinking about his other team and how it wins the money. I'm trying to help him here. I'm in a seat, so I don't know.
Yeah. JJ and Poinette chimes in. I was following on Gamecast because he was in a ride share. It was incomprehensible. Literally, I can't imagine seeing 3rd and 3. Oh my god!
Living and dying with that game while following updates on your phone. I couldn't imagine doing that.
I was sitting in my chair watching the game and I couldn't believe what I was witnessing. I went, oh, okay. You know, all right. At least they'll get the ball back. It's going to be tied. And, you know, McManus will kick a game winner and we'll be fine. We'll get out of there. Line up for the kick. I'm going, okay. They're going to give him a little time, but it's Joe Flacco. They're not going to drive the field. You know, they'll be up 3. Game over. We'll get out of Cleveland. It's going to be gross. We're going to have a lot to talk about tomorrow. But it'll be fine, right?
Could you imagine seeing the interception and then blocked kick, and then kick? Like, that would be That almost might be worse than having to watch it, if that makes sense. No, I don't know.
It's definitely close.
Do you know, like, because I track a lot of stuff via, like, ESPN's app, like, on the GameCast.
Yeah, me too.
Like, if I can't watch something because it's disrespectful to where I'm at and my wife will yell at me, I'll sneak the GameCast and, like, live and die by it, which is almost, I might as well at that point just toss on the game, but, like, it makes me feel better because there's no, like, you can't see that there's a video playing on my phone. Dude, GameCast can be an emotional roller coaster.
Sure can be. Sure can. In a close game, especially.
Especially if you miss a play. And you're like, how the hell did we get there?
What happened? What happened?
And then, like, sometimes it's like reversed. Fumble recovery, 60-yard, like, return.
The reviews?
Yeah.
Reviews are the worst. That being said, we should spend, before we get to Brian Bulaga, because I do want to talk about the appreciation for the Brewers.
Yeah, absolutely.
They deserve it. And again, every time the Brewers don't get their credit and time, it's either it was Micah Parsons' fault at first because that was so massive. Mm-hmm. Now it's the Badgers' fault, and now it's Rich Bisaccia, Matt LaFleur, and Jordan Love's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else's fault? I guess mine. I could have prioritized him, but I was angry.
No, I'm not going to blame you on that. Look, it's become the standard around here that the Brewers are NL Central champions. That's 3 years in a row.
7 of 8 years making the playoffs. This year, now 3 games up on the Phillies, who luckily lost
to... Let's be honest about it. 3.5. Let's be honest about it.
Yeah, no, I was going to get there.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez.
Mr. G, right? Will, he's jumping all over my throat here. They got the tie break.
I don't know if I like that verbiage at all. 3.5.
Yes, I didn't get a chance to get there. They're looking good to get the one seed. And I think why I feel that way is because although they're playing the Padres, who are playing for something, although they're playing the Reds, who are tied with the Mets in the last spot in the wild card, the Brewers are still playing for something too, and that is the number one seed, which, believe it or not, with their home record at American Family Field, I want them at American Family Field as many games as possible.
Control your own destiny to the best of your ability. Obviously, the Brandon Woodruff news over the weekend is not the most encouraging. Pat Murphy described it as devastating for Woodruff, and whenever you hear that word tossed around, that usually is not a great sign for Woodruff returning for the NLDS, as good as he's been. But the good news is this team has proven throughout the course of the last 2 years under Pat Murphy, they responded just about everything. So I still have faith. You go 3-3 in your final 6, you're going to clinch the one seed.
JJ and Poinette follows it up on the Carbless Talk and text line. As he was following the Packers Browns game on ESPN GameCast, I thought I was getting punked. Every so often there's a glitch where it has the teams reversed and the other weird stuff. I thought that might have been happening.
Makes sense.
Unfortunately, this was a real scenario in which we all had to watch, listen, or witness, however we witnessed. Looking forward to Brian Bulaga giving Strofe another lesson. I want him to do it again. If you missed it, on Green Bay Game Day pregame show, Alex Strofe called this a cakewalk.
I said a likely cakewalk. I didn't say it was a cakewalk. I said we are previewing what could be a likely cakewalk. And yeah,
close enough.
Bulaga brought me to school.
To do in the you and Rasheed Walker, you're not so different, you two.
Yeah.
Bad at your jobs and bad at predicting.
Well, that was unnecessary.
Grimal & Associates Insurance protects what matters most, and they specialize in coverage that's tailored exactly to you. Mandy just came in, and she has been a part of Grimal & Associates for so long and in the community for so long that I recently was able to talk to her. And, like, the way that she can break down what they can provide and offer, it's so comforting. I love having somebody. There's no call center where you're like, you don't even know who I am. How many times do I have to read the claim number? Do you know anything that's going on? They don't. That's why you work with Mandy and Grimal Associates. Grimal & Associates help you. They provide guidance. They're there for you. They help you along the way. It's not just a nameless, faceless. Like, it is a group of people there for all of your needs. And again, just get with their team if you're looking for expert guidance and service and, like, that people relationship. I value the people relationship, and that's what they provide with Grimal & Associates. So visit them at teamgrimal.com. That is Team Grimal, Team GRAMOLL.com. Brian Bulaga, whew, bad offensive line play. Good guy to have coming up next.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman, KBN.
And that Alex Stroph, you look like you had something to say.
Brewers! On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Joining us now on Kyle Bruston Nortman with Ben Bruston, Alex Stroph, is Brian Bulaga, the former Packer.
Oh, no.
Tackling great. Brian, I'm so happy you are here.
Oh, no.
It's nice to have a competitor who understands not overlooking opponents. I heard my man said this is a likely cakewalk against the Browns. So disappointing. Mm.
Yeah. How are we doing this Monday?
He's gone through a lot of emotions.
Hi, Brian. Good to hear from you, pal.
Yeah. I mean, it was the first thing Strophy said to me on Sunday during the pregame, and I'm fairly certain it's the first thing I said back to him, is there's no such thing as a cakewalk.
Yeah, no pleasantries on Green Bay game day yesterday. It was, wait a minute, Stroph, hold on.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
So, Brian, do you claim any responsibility for the way that game went? Because
do I claim responsibility?
Because I'm thinking if we never had that conversation, Packers would have won 27-3.
Oh, come on, Brian's not like that. He understands that it's the guys on the field.
I'm kidding, Ben. Yeah, I'm not being serious.
I mean, I think you are.
I mean, I don't take any responsibility, but there were a lot of things that we all saw that went wrong on the field.
Let me start real quick with this. How does Zach Tom play?
I don't know. That was a questionable decision. I understand guys want to push through things, right? Like I get it. And I was probably more guilty than a lot of guys, probably playing through things I probably shouldn't have. Like, and I'm not tooting my horn there. I just did. And like, listen, like I understand it better than anyone. So like, I understand what he was doing. But like, I did it with knee issues, right? And there's some things you can protect with knee issues and you can do certain things. And so like, it's a different ball game than with an oblique, right? Like, I mean, I was talking about it on Sunday, like, the minute you start to strain, right, against a guy and that thing has to actually work and actually get really pressed and stressed, it's something's going to happen, right? Like it's either ready or it's not. And obviously right off the get, it wasn't ready. Right. And I feel really bad for him because you saw kind of his reaction on the sideline. But it's an unfortunate situation. And who knows how long now he's going to be set back from it. That's the bad part from this whole thing is I understand we got this game, but I think it's the bye week, correct? Am I wrong on that?
You are 100% correct.
Okay, so he'll get 2 weeks, essentially three, then going into the next game. But I don't know if it's going to be longer than that or not. You know what I mean? I don't know how severe it is. I mean, by looking how bad he was in pain, I'd imagine it's pretty severe. But you just don't know. Sometimes you got to protect guys from themselves, right? Like sometimes that's the way it is. But you don't know how a guy's feeling, right? If he's telling you he's okay, sometimes you have to trust the guy and how he's doing. And if the scans, I'm sure, which they did a bunch of them, and if the scans are showing, you know, decent signs of recovery, you got to go with everything's shown you, what the player's shown you. And unfortunately, like he went out there and he tried and it just didn't work out.
Jordan Morgan.
Yeah. Great question.
That's my question. Jordan Morgan.
Yeah. And so obviously like right off the jump, right? Like he goes out to right tackle and that caught me off guard because I don't know why, right? Like I just don't understand why he was at right tackle.
Mm-hmm. I don't either.
He came in as a left tackle. He rotated at right guard. You traded for Kennard, who stepped in right away, and now he's at right tackle? I was like, what?
And I'm sure Belton was taking majority of the reps during the weekend right tackle.
Right. That's where I get lost.
So I'm very confused about.
They think he's better than everybody else wherever he plays.
They did kind of set him up as the sixth lineman. Yeah. You're right about that. But He has no experience at that position.
I know, they know that.
And I guess I'm curious.
They still think he's better at that position than everybody else, even with no experience.
So I agree with you, but I'm curious from Brian's perspective because I imagine, actually, I know this. Tom didn't practice all week. We imagine that somebody else was taking the reps. Do you think they anticipated all week, Brian, or towards the latter part of the week that Tom was going to go and they just didn't really have a contingency plan?
No, I mean, my guess would be that they didn't know Tom was going to go until probably Friday. Would be my guess. I think they let him go. They pushed it all week and let Tom, you know, take his time and to see how he felt. And they were preparing as if they wouldn't have him, right? I think that's the way they were going with it. And by all quotes from Belton throughout the week, it sounded as if it was going to be him, right? He talked about how he was preparing for Myles Garrett and how the challenge it was going to be and how what Micah Parsons did to the rookie last week against Washington. And so like all sounded like it was going to be Belton, right? Like, so when I saw that happen, I was taken back by it. Right. So I'm not going to sit here. I don't make excuses for guys, right? Like if you're put into the game, he must have taken reps there at some point. Right. Like there must have been reps at some point in practice that he had taken reps right there and worked at the position. And how much? I don't know, because it didn't happen in training camp. Right. Because that would have been reported. It didn't happen in training camp, at least from what I remember. And he struggled. Right. Like, and the thing is, I'm not going to sit here and like rag the guy because he didn't get many. We watched the preseason games. He didn't get any reps at right tackle in the preseason. So I'm not going to rag the guy. He struggled at times at right tackle. He had penalties, which, listen, you got 95 lined up across from you on the road in a position you're not familiar with and you're not comfortable with. You're going to flinch. Like, I'm not making excuses, but like, it's the way things go.
That's the reality.
That's the reality of the way things happen sometimes. Like, and it's just that's the one when that happened, that was the one move that I kind of left scratching my head a little bit, because like I just thought Belton was going to go in, right? They'd go right to the original plan of Belton going in the game, and okay, here we go, it'd go right back to what it would have been if Tom didn't play, right? Like, and it didn't. So, and then obviously then Jordan Morgan gets switched to left guard when Bench leaves. So now the kid's moving from one position to the next position. And this is what I kind of get into. You're playing musical chairs with guys. And it's difficult to do when you're moving pieces all over the place. Mm-hmm. It's just tough to do. And it's tough to do with guys, right? It just is. It's hard on linemen to be jumping from spot to spot. Then a new guy's playing next to another guy. Then another, like, it just is, man. Continuity is a big thing. And I understand guys are getting hurt and new guys got to get plugged in and play, but like Belton had been playing at right tackle against Washington. Like he had taken a bunch of reps next to Sean Ryan the week prior. There's the easy plug in, right? If Banks goes down, Jordan Morgan had already been taking a bunch of snaps next to Elton and she plug him right in there. Like, and that's like the easiest thing to go with. Right. So, but again, I'm not making the calls out on the sideline. Like, I don't know all the backstory behind everything, but like that, just for me watching it, then I'm turning on the tape and kind of seeing like, those are the struggles that you saw early on in the game. And then the protection was just, I mean, I think the first play Tom comes out, the next play is a sack. And it's just like kind of a discombobulated mess, right? Like, I mean, think three guys just right up the middle. They ran like a TE and it just was like a mess up the middle. So like, it just seemed like they couldn't get in rhythm up front. Like it just seemed like things were off. And yeah, I mean, a lot of interesting decisions. That's all I got to say.
Brian Bulaga joining us here before the Homer Hour in about a minute. Brian, can all these things be true? You can still have trust in Jordan Love moving forward. Matt LaFleur made a bad decision putting the ball in his hands to throw the football, in my opinion, because he was under duress. They didn't have a full offensive line unit. He made a bad decision earlier in running backwards and not throwing it out of bounds, taking a sack. It wasn't a spot where you feel you can still trust him in those situations later in the year. But in this game flow, run the football, punt it, make Joe Flacco go the whole distance and beat you.
Yeah, I still think you can trust him, Jordan Love. But like in that situation, you got to punt it or run it and make him beat you.
Fair enough. That's Brian Bulaga. Look forward to hearing him on the Homer Hour coming up in 2 minutes. See you tomorrow.